Hey everyone, I'm Kalila Reynolds and welcome to another live edition of Taking Stock, where we bring you all the latest business news and tell you how it will affect you and your money. Remember to head over to the Money Mission community and also to subscribe to the newsletter, kalilareynolds.com/newsletter. Get everything straight to your inbox. Also, guys, hit the like button, subscribe to the channel, and let me know in the comments, where are you joining us from this evening? What part of Jamaica? What part of the world? We've got a great show lined up for you. So here's a look at what's coming up in tonight's show, followed by what's hot in business. And of course, come on, let's get this money.
Sprint legend Usain Bolt has been appointed to the board of directors of gaming company Supreme Ventures, and the company will operate two lottery games in Ghana. What other growth and expansion plans do they have in mind for the company? We'll discuss with Executive Chairman of Supreme Ventures Group, Gary Peart, and the analysts weigh in on the latest market developments. Stationery and Office Supplies Limited Board will be considering the stock split. We'll discuss.
But first, here's What's Hot, brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart.
Jamaica has been given 4 months to tighten up its anti-money laundering and counter-terrorism financing plans, or risk a possible move to the dreaded Financial Action Task Force blacklist. The FATF blacklist, also known as the Non-Cooperative Countries or Territories list, identifies countries considered inadequate in their money laundering and counter-financing of terrorism regimes. Countries on the FATF blacklist are subject to economic sanctions by member countries. Jamaica has been on the grey list, which calls for increased monitoring, since 2020. According to the FATF, Jamaica failed to complete its AML-CFT action plan, which fully expired in January 2022. The FATF gave Jamaica until October 2023 to complete its action plan, or the agency said it will have to consider next steps. The Bank of Jamaica and the banknote printer De La Rue says investigations are ongoing into reports of flaws into the country's newly issued polymer banknotes. This follows a viral social media video showing a customer who received a faulty $1,000 polymer banknote. The bank said it has retrieved and replaced the note. The BOJ said that customers who have a genuine polymer banknote that appears to be flawed should return it to the BOJ for replacement. Lighting and electrical company Fossridge says its long-awaited rights issue is set to get underway shortly. A rights issue is an invitation to existing shareholders to purchase additional new shares in the company. The company said the offer was delayed because some of its shareholders, who hold their shares through Stocks and Securities Limited, could not participate. The Jamaica Stock Exchange terminated SSL's license as a member dealer earlier this year. SSL was the lead broker for Fossridge's 2017 initial public offering, and according to Fossridge, SSL shareholders make up about 25% of its overall shareholders. Fossridge has not announced an official date for the offer, but only investors who are shareholders by the 2nd of June will be able to participate. Stationery and Office Supply shareholders will vote in July to approve a 9-to-1 stock split. The company's board approved the split last week. SOS closed trading last week at $28.95. A 9-way split would bring the stock's price down to the $3 to $4 range. According to the company, the split is aimed at driving up demand and trading of the shares by making them cheaper. Bitcoin last week broke the $31,000 mark for the first time in months. The cryptocurrency, which has traded as high as $68,000, plummeted following the crypto winter, which began in November 2021. However, optimism about Bitcoin is returning as institutional investors are getting involved in digital assets. Last week, several Wall Street giants backed EDX Markets, a new cryptocurrency exchange. While BlackRock, the world's biggest money manager, filed an application to create a Bitcoin exchange traded fund.
What's Hot was brought to you by JMMB Group, your best interest at heart. This segment of Taking Stock is brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, insurance made easy.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Let's shout out all our early viewers. Let me see who we have watching us tonight. Raquel says, good night, moneymakers. Let's get this money. Kingston, Kish joining us as usual from London. Danville says, ready to always get this money. Rochane, good evening. Creators of money. Elaine, sorry to disappoint you, Elaine. Elaine said, I told you to reach out to him, Bolt, last week. And bam, can't say I never try. Well done. Well, it's not Usain Bolt this week. We did try. We reached out to the team and they said that he's not doing interviews right now. Understandable with everything that's been going on since the start of the year. But yeah, as she also says, she said, I thought it was an interview with Bolt, but we welcome Mr. Peart and thank him for speaking with us. And with that said, let's get into tonight's interview. Tonight's main segment, sprint legend Usain Bolt has been appointed to the board of directors of gaming company Supreme Ventures Limited. And that company will also be operating two lottery games in Ghana. So what other growth and expansion plans do they have in mind for SVL? Joining me now to discuss, we have Executive Chairman of Supreme Ventures Group, Gary Peart. Hello.
Hey, Khalil, how are you doing?
I am good. It's good to see you. It's been a minute.
Hey.
I feel like COVID. I haven't seen you in person since COVID. It's been some time.
COVID mash up everybody, man. You can't ask nobody, but happy to see you now.
Yes. All right. Well, first of all, so we know you from Mayberry. We also know you're on the chair of Supreme Ventures, and you have a lot going on. But tell us about your role with Supreme Ventures Group and what that company has been up to.
Well, as the title indicates, I'm the executive chairman. So what that means is that I'm a chairman of the board of directors, and I'm also the group CEO of the group of companies.
And how long has Supreme Ventures been around?
We celebrated 22 years on Monday.
Very, very nice. People love the cash pot. Cash pot has always been a part of the brand, or was that one of the, did that come around afterwards?
So cash pot is our main product. And it's a product that is well known by the Jamaican public. You know, we make winners every day. But we have several other brands. And obviously the company itself is a brand.
Mm-hmm. So let's start with, you know, the biggest recent news, which is Usain Bolt being appointed to the board of directors. What was the thought process behind that decision?
Well, you know, I find it interesting. We actually appointed two directors. We appointed Director Matt Knight, who was a former senior partner of PwC, as well as Director Bolt. You know, so we have several directors on the board, and we welcome both Director Matt Knight and Director Bolt to the board of directors.
But tell me why, like, what was the process of getting Usain Bolt, Supreme Ventures? What's the synergy that you see there?
You know, what I see and what the board of Supreme Ventures see in Director Bolt, we think is obvious. Based on some of the responses I've seen, I've realized it's not that obvious to most. So, for example, Director Bolt is currently the youngest director on the board. So he can give a perspective from a demographic that we didn't have before. There's a lot of positives about him. Supreme is now a global company. We're operating in three different countries outside of Jamaica. We have pretensions to access several other countries. Director Bolt, as well as several other directors on the board, have international experience, exposure, and networks. And fundamentally, he's also a wealthy individual, an investor in his own right, a businessman in his own right. It's clear that a lot of people don't see that side of him. But that side of him, you know, has significant contributions to a business like SVL to make.
Well, give us some background on Leighton McKnight, who's the other director you mentioned, has been appointed recently as well.
Yeah, so Leighton used to be the senior partner of PwC. PwC is one of the largest, if not the largest, auditing and accounting firms in Jamaica and the Caribbean. He was a senior partner for several years. He retired 2 years ago. And, you know, after retiring, somebody that has that type of knowledge-based skill set is, you know, it's very important to a business like ours, you know. So, you know, the intention obviously is he'll form a part of the audit and risk committee of the board, and he will help to increase the governance and how we go about doing business as SVL.
Good stuff. Going back to Bolt, so are you going to be using his image, or do you just want his expertise on your board?
You know, Director Bolt is just like several other directors on the board, you know. So it's more from the business perspective. You know, as I said, he brings a particular perspective that we would be able to benefit from. But also, he can also benefit from, you know, a lot of the advice of the other directors as we look at doing business. You know, I know a lot of people only see Director Bolt in a particular light, but he has, as I said before, he has significant other facets associated with
him. Yes, he has a strong business background. We've been trying to get him on the show for some time, but since your friends know, your business associates, you know, pass on the word, whatever he's ready, tell him we have an open invitation here on Taking Stock. I'd love to talk to him about his multiple business ventures. But tonight we're talking about Supreme Ventures. You've expanded to Ghana, which is very, very exciting. We did a whole piece about that a few weeks ago. Tell us why Ghana and what this expansion is expected to bring.
Well, you know, a couple of years ago, actually just before COVID, one of the biggest value changes in the history of Supreme occurred. And interestingly, you know, the majority of investors out there have not really understood it or taken advantage of it. And that change was when we developed and launched our proprietary lottery software. And we rolled out that lottery software. In the Ghana market that we entered. And since then, it has actually gotten international certification by the GLI Labs. What that has done, it puts Supreme in a position where we can now compete with other large lottery companies for lottery licenses across the world. And if you put things into perspective, Kalila, Supreme made equivalent of 20 million US in 2022. From a population of 3 million people in Jamaica. You do the math. Ghana has 34 million people. So, you know, once the game is set in Ghana, you can understand what's going to come down the pike. You know, so any reasonable average investor doing the forward PE. So, you know, the average investor looks on historical PE and trailing PEs, but, you know, the really savvy investors look at what we call forward PEs, where you project future income and you get an idea as to where stock prices are likely to be. Anybody who tries to do that using some of the basic information that's out there, in my opinion, $25 seems cheap. But, you know, some people want to see things happen before they make investments. The probability of it being at 25 at that point is maybe particularly low, but to each his own.
So Strong Link says, enough oil money running in Guyana, going, Strong Link, it's Ghana.
Oh, it's Ghana. I was about to say that. For some reason, Kalila, people always get it mixed up. Ghana, Guyana, it's two different
It does sound kind of similar. Two different countries. Ghana's in South America, Ghana's in Africa.
Right. Correct.
But why specifically Ghana, though? Like, of all the countries in the world, like 280-something countries, and I'm not saying it's a bad move, it's a great move, but why Ghana? Like, what advantage did you see that made you choose that country to be your first outside of Jamaica expedition?
So in the world of gaming, it's not about what you want to do, it's what is available, you know. And, you know, we have put in several bids in different countries and continents across the world, and we've finally been successful in Ghana. And, you know, if tomorrow morning I'm successful in Antarctica, I'll go there too. But We're actually very happy that it's Ghana. And as I said to my marketing team, you know, I don't know if it's godsend, because we were working at this for over 2 years. And as the Lord destined it, you know, we got the license on a particular date. And one of the key provisions of the license is that we need to be operational within 90 days. And that 90 days actually carries us to August 1. Kalila, what is August 1 in Jamaica?
In the Emancipation Day holiday.
Emancipation Day. And so it is alleged that the majority of Jamaicans came from slaves from Ghana. Mm-hmm. So in Ghana, they have slave forts and they have what's called the Gate of No Return when they put the slaves out on the ship. And in recent time, they've created a new gate that's called the Gate of Return. So what's the probability that a Jamaican company gets a license in Ghana and has to start on August 1, emancipation?
Wow. It's poetic justice.
Hey, I would say poetic. It's indicators like that, we feel we're on the right track. And we want to make a big deal about it. One of the things, again, is that Supreme has grown up. I mean, we have an excellent workforce, and it's being displayed now. We have a project team that's ensuring that we can hit that deadline to roll out in time. And, we appointed Claran Kennedy as CEO for Ghana. That's a big move for us. But even here locally, the team is just performing above and beyond. I mean, IT with Aiden Whitaker, I give him a lot of trouble, but I'm just trying to push him. And that's what we do. We're making people bigger and better. Heather in our marketing side, Hesus Johnston, Dewey and Tolo. Those guys, I mean, they're just phenomenal in their leadership ability and how they've been able to pull the team together, because this is a big thing for a Jamaican company to expand outside of its shores. And so we want to make sure we dot the I's, cross the T's to make sure this thing is definitely a success.
Have you been there, by the way, to Ghana?
Yes, I've been there several times.
What is it like as a Jamaican? Like, describe what your first experience going to Ghana was like.
So Ghana is a paradox. So you will go to Ghana and see somebody that looks like you, Kalila. I mean, there is no ifs, ands, or buts that a lot of us came from Ghana. You see a lot of people that look like people in Jamaica.
They act like us too.
Huh?
Act like us too.
they do. I mean, on the way to some of the rivers and stuff. I mean, when you hear the history of it, it's very emotional when you go to the slave forts and stuff as to the atrocities that were committed there. But why I say it's a paradox. You will go to certain places in Ghana and it's like 1950s in Jamaica. But in the same breath, Ghana has one of the most technologically advanced mobile wallet platforms. I mean, their ability to do electronic payments is way ahead of where we are in Jamaica. When you pull up at a stoplight, you really feel that you are at the intersection of Waterloo and Trafalgar. They're selling all sorts of things and stuff, So there are a lot of similarities, but they're very religious. They also have a very large Muslim population, even though the majority of the population is Christian. And they're much more conservative, especially the women.
Really?
Especially women. But they love Jamaica. They love Jamaican stuff, So there are a lot of stuff that we can work with. So there's some similarities. There are other things that we can take advantage of. I mean, they've just gotten into an IMF agreement before it, just before we got the license. Somebody's like, are you sure their interest rates are 20%? Inflation, wow. This. I'm like, dude, we're from Jamaica. We had interest rates at 120% and made money. So this is nothing, It's interesting. It's different, but it's nice. As I said, I believe when we go there and Supreme does what we normally do, we're going to reach out to all the different categories of people in the country, and we want to bring the games that make people happy and win. I think if we do that, we'll have a significant inroad into the continent.
What is it like doing business in Ghana? Like, how easy or difficult is it to get through the bureaucracy, for example, compared to Jamaica?
So again, it's the same paradox I speak about. There are simple things that takes a long time, and there are other things that move very quickly. I mean, digital is huge. You go into a market and you see somebody select fresh fish, and then you see they take out their cell phone. And they look on the fishmonger and say, hey, what's your address? And they tell them, and then they literally just press it in, and you see the fishmonger take up her phone and she sees the cash come, and then she just wraps up the fish and gives it to them. So you see that kind of thing. I mean, which is just very different from what you have here. But on the flip side, you know, you go into the urban areas, and one of the big things is there's respect for the elders. So the person that was the most important person in the village has the biggest billboard for their funeral. You know, you're going through a village and you see billboards of, you know, Khalilah Richards, 1930 to 1999. And, you know, that's a big thing. The bigger the funeral billboard is.
Wow.
So they're simple things, you know. So it's about how do you blend in. With our local partners, you know, that we're trying to learn a lot about. The food is amazing. You know, they don't eat ackies. You see ackies falling off of the tree all over the place. But they specialize in a lot of natural stuff, fruits, vegetables, etc. You know, their food is a little bit different from some of the stuff we do. But it's something we get used to.
Yeah, I'm glad you made that point about mobile money and cashless society. Because every time I put out a video about Jamaica going cashless or moving towards cashless, people start cuss me and say, "Well, how will the little man on the street get paid? How about the market people?" And I don't understand that in many, many countries, this is how it's done, and it's beneficial to even the small, every single level that you have.
It is huge there. I mean, literally at the stoplight, and you see people transacting business with their phones.
So you pay the wiper guys with mobile money?
Not all of them, but, you know, one or two of them. But as I said, I mean, the whole system is set up that way. And, you know, what is good is, for example, I mean, SVL has one of the largest online businesses locally, you know, because you can play the lotto online, you can buy your horse racing stuff online, Acropolis is online. I mean, in fact, the Super Lotto winner, before this last Super Lotto winner, he placed his bet on our SV Games app online, you know. So it's not new to us, and it's also another ability for us to expand, because whilst we're going there with lottery, SVL as a group has other areas, our fintech side of the business, that, you know, it's an opportunity for us to integrate and expand our revenue lines accordingly.
Mm. There's part of the question you didn't answer, though. I asked, how easy or difficult is it to do business, like, with the government? What's the bureaucracy like? For example, what did it take to get your gaming license?
Well, the gaming license was pretty difficult in terms of, you know, you have to go through different machinations. So one of the biggest thing is that the lottery that they have is a 5 in 90. So you draw five numbers from 90 balls. So, you know, our two games, Pick One, which we call Cashpot here in Jamaica, and Pick Four, are very different from what they're used to. I mean, their lottery game is over 50 years old. So having to explain the difference in that took some time. But for example, Ghana has a fixed exchange rate. You can't just move foreign exchange out of the country. And so there are certain approvals that you need to have. So when you're setting up, you know, for certain fees you charge, you have to get an agency similar to JAMPRO to give you approval to do certain things. But it doesn't take as long as, for example, it might take in Jamaica for some of those similar approvals. So you have certain things that move very quickly, and you have other things that will take time, you know, so you just have to manage it. And this is where your local partners become very important. They can help you navigate these things as you get to understand the country and the way they do business.
Yeah, I'm glad. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you know, Ghana is actually seen as one of the more stable countries in Africa, the African continent.
Even though they're entering an IMF agreement?
Yeah. You know, when I spoke to him about the IMF agreement, I said, that's not a problem. You know, we always come out of it early. They're just so confident that, you know, whatever is required, they're going to beat it. And already you see the changes that they're making, the legislation, the structural changes in the economy. And, you know, when you look on their history, they've always exited the IMF agreement significantly earlier than the projected end date. You know, so Ghana is a country that is blessed with a lot of resources. Ghana has oil, gold, minerals, you know, all sorts of different food, etc. You know, so, you know, it's as I said, it's a more stable country relative to some other African countries. But the point I was trying to make to you, because they're seen that way, currently, the Ghanaian lottery is beamed to around 6 neighboring countries, you know. So that's also another hidden opportunity for us, because if our game does very well in Ghana, one would expect that that game would attract people playing from those countries. And the total population of those 6 countries is in excess of 250 million people.
Wow. Yes. And especially since it's all online and they're already used to operating in that mobile capacity. What's to stop me from playing in Nigeria? I can just go online and buy the ticket. Yeah. All right. So Marvin wants to hear, he says, we need to hear more about the strategic moves SVL will make in Ghana. What can you tell us?
What does he define as strategic? I mean, I'm just rolling out my lottery. Roll out the lottery, put in a marketing plan, and hopefully people like it and come and play. And once they play, they make money, we make money, everybody's happy, the government makes money, just like we do here in Jamaica. For 2022, we contributed $10 billion to the coffers of the Consolidated Fund, you know, and that's actually the best strategic move that Supreme has. You know, when we go to these different jurisdictions, we go with a win-win-win strategy in that, you know, there's enough money to be made that you can split it with the government, you can split it with the regulator, the SVL shareholders get some money, and most importantly, the betting and wagering public, they benefit the most.
Well, Daniel has some more specific questions. You know, you come on Taking Stock, Gary, our viewers, they come with the brains, intelligence, the bright questions. So Daniel says, you spoke about market size. What is your penetration strategy and capital outlay? Target market size, what's the competition like there and your unique selling point? A bunch of questions. Let's start with the last set, competition and your unique selling point. What are you really going into?
Well, for obvious reasons, I won't answer all of those questions because I'm sure my competitors in Ghana and elsewhere might want to hear the answer to all of those. Mm. So I will say for most of those questions, you will see. The key, what I'll answer in terms of the competition, the main lottery game there, if not the only lottery game there, is a 5-in-90 jackpot lottery game. So they've never seen what we have in terms of cash pot as a pick one. It's called pick one there. We're going to launch on a different brand, which you'll see come August 1, and also pick 4. You know, so we believe those games will be more attractive. And there are certain features of those games which are not present in the Ghanaian environment right now that we think will help us with our penetration strategy. For obvious reasons, I won't speak specifically to it because, again, the business and the secret sauce associated with what we do, sometimes if you articulate it clearly, it makes it much harder to penetrate with your competitors trying to do the same thing.
You mentioned earlier that Ghana is a very religious and a very conservative country.
Yes.
What is their attitude towards gambling?
Well, I mean, they've had a lottery environment for over 50 years. And, you know, one of the big opportunities that we face is that they also have a very large underground economy that participates in the gaming space. And so when I speak about one of the win-win-win strategies is that, you know, what we are seeking to do is likely to reduce that underground somewhat or take market share from that underground, which the government and the regulator in Ghana would benefit from because they're charging us a fee based on how much business that we generate. You know, so the point is, just like Jamaica, we are relatively religious here in Jamaica, but we still have space for people to gamble. I think it's important to say this. No matter what you do, people are going to gamble. So the question is, do you regulate it and collect a fee and then put some of those resources back to good causes? Or do you allow the underground economy to thrive and then move some of those resources into buying guns and ammunition to increase crime in the society?
Elaine has a question. Elaine Jungle. I hope I'm saying your name right because he mentioned earlier. Elaine, I'll talk to you after this, after we finish this interview. He says, talk to us about the marketing plans if possible. How does SVL plan to make your presence felt? Maybe a partnership with a local home athlete.
You know, so when you think about the most, I would say, think about a lot of the things we do here in Jamaica and the fact that Ghana is similar to Jamaica in many ways. So we can use a lot of those strategies in Ghana. So, for example, you refer to an athlete. I mean, here in Jamaica, SVL is one of the major sponsors of the Jamaica Olympic Association. You know, so we probably could do something like that in Ghana. Football is huge in Ghana. It actually dwarfs almost every other sport in Ghana. So again, that's something we could align ourselves with. So there are different areas of the economy that the market research is saying to us, this is where you need to make the move and align yourself. Again, for competitive reasons, I won't give you specifics there.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, you know, we're a business that's been around for 22 years now in Jamaica. And if you go across Jamaica, it'll be difficult to find somebody that has not heard of CashPod, worse, Supreme Ventures. Mm-hmm. You know, so you don't get and maintain that type of market and market presence if you don't understand what your customer is about. And I think that's the big secret about us here at SVL. We spend a significant amount of money trying to understand what is happening with our customer. You know, so we feel we'll do something similar in Ghana.
Murphy wants to know about the money. Murphy said, is there a possibility for higher dividend for the stock if the company does well in Ghana?
Well, how I answer that question, right now, SVL's dividend policy is to pay out 90% of its profits. You know, I don't know how much further that can go. I need some money to expand the business, Jesus. So in terms of nominal numbers, if Ghana does well, yes, the dividend is going to get significantly higher.
Yeah. Obviously, if you have more profit and it's a percentage,
right.
You're going to get
percentage more. Is still the same 90% because it's, remember, you would know this, but dividend policy of 90% came when you had a mature company that didn't have a lot of growth prospects, so you dividend out the cash. We have now transformed SVL into a growth company, which is why we feel we can maintain and increase the current price multiple that is there in the stock, because you're growing rapidly and you're also paying significant dividends, right? Which again, I don't think the average investor in Jamaica has really paid attention to that point. And you know, in my opinion, I think we're entering a rapid and very large growth phase. You know, so if we are able to achieve even 10-20% of what we're trying to do, the impact on our bottom line is going to be material.
Absolutely. So are there any other countries that you're licensed in and offering or looking to offer gaming?
Well, you know, we're currently in Guyana. We export our draw to South Africa, and we're now in Ghana. As I said to you before, we now have our own proprietary software, and it makes us very nimble. And, you know, some of our, for a better word, lottery software competitors need anywhere in excess of 9 months to a year to roll out in a country. We are basically doing it in 90 days, and that gives us a tremendous competitive advantage. And as I said, wherever there is an opportunity to get a license, we're going to be trying, and we're trying to bid. Currently, we have done Ghana by ourselves. We have partners that are willing to come in with us, depending on the size of the country. So again, you know, look at this space. And, you know, just to put it into perspective, Kalila, last year was our record year in terms of profit. Well, it was a new record. We've been making records almost every year since we've been here. And we made 20 million US, 3 billion Jamaican dollars, right? Our lottery software provider in Jamaica, IGT, the check I drew them for their services for 2022 was close to 15 million US. I mean, about 13 to 15 million US.
Nice.
Next, right? So if you stop and think about it, right? In Jamaica, SVL, that you know, is what Game Park in Ghana is. And in Jamaica, IGT is equivalent to what SVL Ghana is going to be to Game Park. So we're being that lottery software provider where your risk is significantly less and you're almost getting the same amount of profit as the actual licensee in the jurisdiction. So what you have, which is why I'm saying, the moment we announced that we had our own proprietary software, What it meant is that every single time we find a jurisdiction or announce a license, you're putting increased revenue on a platform that you've already amortized the cost, right? And so the future flows for that aspect of our business is huge, right? And so that's why we invested in it, and we continue to invest not just in that technology, but some other technologies that we're doing. We have our own proprietary top-up phone platform now, which is called ChargeUp. And so that allows us to expand, our margins. So put it into perspective, Khalilo. In Jamaica, my terrestrial distribution system, I have to pay my retailers 5% for a fixed location. Digital, because of the, when I put in the cost of developing, etc., the digital cost is anywhere from 1% to 2%. As I put new markets on top of that software, that effective cost gets less and less, right? So if you stop and put it into perspective, right, the size of the local lottery, give or take, let's use 300 million US as a number. It's a little bit higher than that, but let's use 300 million US. Every 1% that I can save in any part of my business in SVL drives $3 million US to my GP.
Wow.
That's in a country of 3 million people. So when you start to move the population size that you are serving and you start to clip these 1 percentage points, right? So let's do some hypotheticals, right? Let's say the business in Jamaica is a 3 million population, the lottery size is 300 million US, right? 1% is 3 million. If you extrapolate and we can do what we've done here in Jamaica, in Ghana, 34 million, that means it suggests that the lottery size can grow to 3 billion. So when, for every 1% that you save, that's how much, Khalila?
3 million US.
1%
for Jamaica.
Right.
So in Ghana, it would be 25 million.
No, you have to add a zero. Guys, 10 times bigger. So it'd be 30 million US per 1%. That's the problem with large numbers, Khalila. Yeah. You know what? You know what your dividend look like if you were an SVL shareholder. So again, this is not a guarantee that it will happen. All I'm saying is that all of my stars in my organization, because I am the simple one, I surround myself with a bunch of bright and brilliant people at Supreme, right? And they learn faster than me, right? So if they've been able to do this in Jamaica, and if we can do that similar in Ghana in 2 to 3 years, you want to work out that PE? You want to work out that dividend?
Wow.
You want to work out that stock price? So, you know, what it is, this is what makes us so excited here, right? Because yes, there is a risk of failure, right? But the risk of success gives you numbers that just put you into the stratosphere. And that's 30 million people, right? So if we do that, what happens if every time I announce a new jurisdiction?
Mm-hmm.
You're the math brain. Tell me how it go.
Yeah, money. That's how it goes. I'm going to take a couple of final questions. So Kizzy wants to know, will SVL be importing, or I guess exporting from Jamaica, existing staff, or will you be using staff in Ghana?
So that's a brilliant question. So, you know, that's a question that's very dear to my heart. Whilst I was making my way up the corporate ladder in Jamaica, one of the things that I've always seen, and I said to myself, you know, if ever I've been blessed to get in a position where I could do something about it, was I've always seen multinational companies come to Jamaica. You have the term expatriates, and you know, they always got the biggest salaries, they always got the biggest benefits. And I'm like, mm-hmm. You know, I wish one day, you know, I've been in charge of a business that I can have expatriates and send them there, but they're Jamaican and they're going to be seen as expatriates and they're going to have the best of the best. Guess what, Khalila?
Mm-hmm.
Guess what, Khalila?
So we have Jamaican expats going to Ghana.
Yeah. So that is like a bucket list that in the business world that, you know, I was always looking forward to. So at Supreme, we have job rotation. We have people that we send off to different universities, etc., to get to better themselves. Because I've been saying to the team at SVL, this day is coming. And when it comes, you need to be ready. So what I've said to them, I'm not guaranteeing that they will get the jobs. They have to make themselves ready. Because we have to now go into the worldwide pool of labor to get the best person. But if there's a tie between the Jamaican talent and the foreign talent, I am going to send, or I would support sending the Jamaican talent, you know. And as I said, this is a challenge that I've given to the leaders in the company. This is a challenge that I've given to their direct reports. Get yourself ready, because the opportunities that you're going to have, right, you know, you don't know when it's going to come around again. So the simple answer to the question is yes, I would want to send the Jamaican workers there. Because the other opportunity that we have is that you don't go to university to get a gaming degree. There are very few universities that, if at all, right, that actually tell you about gaming. You get a degree in some other thing and you end up in a gaming company and you learn about it. This is the huge opportunity every single employee of SVL has, that you are already in our ecosystem. So if we are expanding internationally, you have the first, the right, for a better word, the right of first refusal to get these jobs. And once you qualify, trust me, the team will send you. And I think as we do that, it opens a new avenue and area, not just for the company as a business, but to grow people, right? A lot of people here in Jamaica just think that the only place you can go is United States and you're going to have to go and work for another team, another place there. You have a Jamaican company that's joining very few Jamaican companies that have expanded outside of Jamaica and has the potential to continue this expansion for many, many years to come.
So I was going to leave it there, but there's been one question that keeps popping up in the chat. People keep coming back to it from the very start of your interview. I was skipping it. I was ignoring the question. But
sure. You can't help yourself.
The people insist, so I'm going to ask it. So here we go. This one comes from Leon. Please expound on the decision to add Usain versus Asafa, who has marital linkage and local brand power.
So let me deal with this, because I personally, guys, I think, you know, Usain is one of the greatest talents that this country has ever produced, not just as an athlete, right? He's a guy that is brilliant in many other ways. But I think a lot of Jamaican companies miss a very great advantage, a very big advantage. Somebody that I think rivals Usain in the business world as a very good director is a Chris Gayle. Chris Gayle can pick up the phone and call any Indian billionaire and they'll take his call because of who he is. So if he's aligned with the right company, right, and they understand the business aspect of it, I mean, that's a huge opportunity, right? The same can be said about a lot of our Jamaican, not just athletes, but Jamaicans that go outside of Jamaica. And what happens, and what I've learned, and I've seen it, you know, with the announcement of Director Bolt, is that people are comfortable with certain people in boxes and they don't understand certain things. If you're blessed with the opportunity to travel the world, you will see things that you're not seeing here in Jamaica. So all of our Jamaican legends, you know, athletes that has gone abroad, whether sprinting, whether boxing, whatever the sport is, even the administrators that have gone abroad, right? They will see certain things that any local business that have pretensions to go global, those people can help you, right? And the thing is that some of these people don't speak a lot about it, but you know that's the case once you're in the ecosystem. So people are comfortable with people like, I mean, I think Shelly-Ann Fraser-Pryce would be a tremendous asset as a board director, right? And so, because again, just within the ecosystem, if you stop and think about it, A lot of these people are very wealthy. A lot of these people have interacted with global brands that have given them sponsorships. They don't just sit one side and, you know, it's just a manager that does it. At some point, they have to come back and say, hey, what do you think about this? So they have that knowledge, but the average person doesn't pick up on it. Again, for me, I interact with people very differently. And, you know, I see things that the average person will not necessarily see because they're just not focused on that. You know, so interestingly, as life would have it, when I went to Ghana and the license was issued, and I was celebrating the issuance of the license at the tallest bar in Ghana, who turns up, Khalilah? Asafa. You know, so they're all dancing there tonight. And I mean, so that any opportunity, those opportunities can happen, you know. But what I would say to people is, I think all of them are great in their own right. And Jamaica is still a relatively poor country in that, you know, in certain, we have a high debt GDP per capita at around 5,000 US. But, you know, us Jamaicans, we strive for much more, right? And where we are as a country, where we are as a people, there is so much more that we can do for each other, to work with each other as opposed to compete with each other. So even how the question is phrased, and I mean, I'm not burning fire on the question, you know, it should never be a Safa versus Bolt, right? Because the little that we've seen of both of those guys when they work together, you think about that 4x1 relay, those guys broke records that we never saw before. And so my thing is, as Jamaica, I mean, I'm happy that Director Bolt is with us. I hope other athletes will get that opportunity, or other Jamaican legends will get that opportunity, right? And I think there's just so much that we can get by working with each other. Don't pit them off against each other. It's not about who's better, who's worse. If we come together as a people and extract all the different brand values associated with all of these different icons, cricket, you name it. I mean, there's just so much money out there, right, for us to get, that trust me, not even in your lifetime, Khalilah, we'll scrape even 0.01% of it, right? But we'll try. And I think coming together as a Jamaican community, because I know it's something I'm passionate about. I'll chat for a while on it, but I'll say this to you, Khalilah, one of the big things that we're seeing now in the Supreme Group is over at Caymanas, right? So we have strategically decided to enter the horse racing ecosystem. The team has just come back from Royal Ascot. I was at the Belmont Stakes 2 weeks ago, Hong Kong Derby. And when you go, Khalilah, when people hear that you're from Jamaica, the conversation starts. The networking becomes so simple. Everybody wants to come. Who has never come has been here several times. We are so golden. We don't understand. We don't understand the opportunity that is in front of us. If we could just stop fighting each other and bad-minding each other, this country would explode so big, so positively, you would never understand.
Biggest problem we face, bad mind.
Bad mind.
Bad mind.
We can get past it. And, you know, as I said, I think Supreme has a huge opportunity. And everybody at SVL is trying to take advantage of that. I think as we take advantage of it, it's just going to grow in potential, you know. So we're trying to do it properly. We're trying to do it right, you know, and we hope for the best.
I hope for the best too. I'm really, you know, wishing you all the best in your venture into Ghana and new markets. And we're keeping our eye on it to see what happens, how it goes. But we are rooting for you, Gary, and the SVL team, and the Jamaican expats.
The only thing I'll say to you, Khalilah, and your team is, don't get up 5 years from now and say, you know, I did this interview with Gary Peart, and I decided to wait and see. And in 5 years' time, when you see where the stock is, don't be the one to say, Jesus, why never buy then?
On that note, final comment comes from Leon, who says, great presentation. I'm keen to invest. SVL APO loading. And Stronglink says, oh gosh, I missed the comment. Steve says, buy the stock. And Stronglink says, that's the money we need to get.
Hey, right. As I said, word. Every stock I'm involved in, it's a buy. It's always a buy.
Hey guys, make sure you follow him on Twitter, you know.
I'm not there.
It's not you. It's Chris. Chris is always tweeting. Chris Berry.
Chris is always tweeting.
Yeah. Well, thanks so much for joining me. And like I said, I wish you guys all the best. And we will have you back on in 5 years and see, you know, where the stock is. I will play back the clip.
Maybe you might do it in two. Who's to say?
Hey.
Enough love, Camilo.
It's a date.
We got to respect the rest of the people out there.
All right. All right. So, guys, we're going to take a quick break. But before we go to the poll question, you know that on every Monday, we drop gems inside the Money Mission community. Yesterday, it was Ask Kalila. I got to interact with a lot of our new members because we did have a sale last. As a matter of fact, that sale was supposed to expire yesterday and I forgot to deactivate it. So the sale is still activated right now. Investing for Beginners course is still on 40% sale up until probably the end of the show when I have time to go and deactivate the sale because it's supposed to expire midnight. Anyway, yesterday it was Ask Kalila for all our new members. And here's a clip of what we discussed.
It's good to be around like-minded people so we can, you know, grow together. Because, I mean, sometimes we don't get this. Well, of course, we don't really get certain level of teaching. It's
up into the clip. All right. I guess that's the end of the clip. That was Katie Ann from the community. And we were talking about, you know, she was telling us why she joined the community.
It's good to be around like-minded people so we can, you know, grow together.
We spoke about, somebody was asking me about time management. How do I manage my time? We spoke about what else? Stock market investing, of course. That's always a recurring topic and a bunch of different things. So to join the community, click the link in the description below. It should also be pinned at the top of the comment section right underneath this video that you're watching on YouTube or Facebook. And since we're on the topic of Money Mission, guys, our in-person launch has been postponed. It was supposed to be this Thursday, which is KRM's third birthday, by the way. June 29, 2020 is when we officially registered the business. So we will be officially 3 years old on June 29, which is this week Thursday. So that was the date we had planned for our in-person launch. But we are delaying that launch until September for a few reasons. One, I didn't realize Thursday night was also Observer Food Awards. And so a lot of people that we wanted to invite already had pre-existing commitments to that event. And then secondly, which was the more important reason, is that there are several things that I wanted to be a part of the experience that wouldn't have been ready for this week, Thursday. I'm going to be traveling a lot in August, so August is out, and then July is like next week already. So we're looking at September for our in-person official launch, and I'm going to get to meet you guys in person. The updates will be sent out via email. Once you're part of the community officially, you will get that email invitation, an e-vite, and we will link up in person in September. And just reminding you that we still have that sale going on until the end of this show. All right. So right now, let's see. What time is it right now? You know, with this segment, I'm going to ask you if you're prepared for the hurricane season.
Hurricane tips are brought to you by CG United. It's good like that.
So are you sure that you're prepared for the hurricane season? Well, here's a word of advice from CG United. Why do I have to pay a deductible? Many people always ask, why do I have to pay that deductible before? So the insurance company, before the insurance company will settle my claim. Deductibles are how the risk is shared between you, the policyholder, and your insurer. It's there to discourage claims for trivial losses and keep insurance rates reasonable. So you might get one little scratch on, well, I was gonna use the example of a car, but we're talking about hurricane season and property insurance. So one little scrape on the side of your window You want to be claiming. Insurance companies try to protect against that by having a deductible. So it creates a greater sense of risk consciousness. A person is more likely to prevent a loss if they understand their role in contributing to that loss and the costs associated with it. So you're not going to try to intentionally damage your property just to claim back on the insurance if you know that you also have to pay a deductible first, that comes out before you even get to claim anything. So that's the reason insurance companies have a deductible there.
Hurricane Tips were brought to you by CG United. It's good like that.
And that is your hurricane tip of the week, brought to you by CG United. Now let's take tonight's poll question. What do you think about Jamaica's new polymer banknotes? So I got my first one as change Saturday. The very first one. I was like, oh, okay. This feels, you know, here are your options. I don't like it. It feels like monopoly money. Feels like monopoly money. B, I love it. C, I don't see why we need them. D, I like the accessibility features. Other, leave a comment. So by now, I think many of you probably had an opportunity to touch and feel and see the new money. What do you think about it? How do you feel about it? Let me repeat the options. A, I don't like it. It feels like monopoly money. B, I love it. C, I don't see why we need them. D, I like the accessibility features. Other, leave a comment. And while you're at it, of course, hit the like button. Up next, we've got your market recap, and the analysts are standing by.
This segment of Taking Stock was brought to you by Bulwark Insurance Agency, Insurance Made Easy.
Hey, moneymakers, join the KRM fam with our official merch. Get it now at KalilaReynolds.com. Let's get this money.
The JSE Combined Index gained over 5,000 points, or almost 2% last week. 125 stocks traded across the main and junior markets for the week, ending Friday, June 23, 2023. 49 made gains, 61 lost value, and 15 stayed the same. 140 million shares changed hands on the Jamaican dollar market, valued at $1.3 billion. Wigton Wind Farm was the week's most traded stock. It took up 25% of market volume, with 36 million shares trading. The stock lost 1 cent open Monday at 90 cents. TransJamaican traded the second highest. The stock lost 19 cents to open this week at $2.20. And NCB Financial Group rounded out last week's most traded, with 9 million shares changing hands. The stock gained 8 cents to open Monday at $66.73. Now let's see who are the biggest gains for the week. Stationery and office supplies was the week's biggest gainer. The stock was up almost 46% to open Monday at $28.95. The company's board recently approved a 9-to-1 stock split. JMMB Group 7.25% was the second biggest gainer. The stock went up 32% to start the new week at $4.06. And Cabin Assurance Brokers was up almost 20% to open the new week at $3.02. On the losing side now, Equity Line Mortgage Investment Corporation preference shares was last week's biggest loser, down 37%. The stock opened Monday at $1.02. First Rock Real Estate USD fell 19% to open the new week at 4 cents US. And Margaritaville Turks USD was down 17%, closing the week at 9 cents US. Over on the Trinidad and Tobago Stock Exchange, the composite index was mostly stable last week. National Enterprises was the most traded stock. The stock gained 4 cents to open this week at $3.44 TT. Unilever Caribbean was the market's biggest gainer, up almost 9%, to open this week at $12.38 TT. And on the losing side, National Flour Mills fell 6% to open Monday at $1.55 TT. Over in the US, after a shortened week of trading, the Dow Jones and the S&P 500 fell 2%, while the Nasdaq fell almost 3%. At the pumps, gas prices lost 25 cents last week, while diesel prices gained 25 cents. In foreign exchange, it took an average $155.07 Jamaican to purchase $1 last Friday. That's 6 cents less than a week before. Meanwhile, it took an average $119.32 Jamaican to purchase one Canadian dollar. One British pound cost on average $195.89 Jamaican, and you could buy 1 euro for $170.44 Jamaican on average. Finally, on the crypto markets, Bitcoin prices went up 1% over the past 5 days, trading at $30,300 US on Monday. Ethereum prices, on the other hand, fell 0.5%, trading at $1,879 US on Monday.
Disclaimer: this is not intended as financial advice. Please consult a licensed financial advisor before making investment decisions.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's time now for the analyst. But before I introduce our single man panel for tonight, let us take some of your comments. And I see a lot of comments coming in, especially regarding the poll question just now. So a lot of people saying B. Aline says B, Danielle says B. What was B again? Let me look at the options. So B was, I love it. Okay, all right, so you guys so far are loving it. Leon says A, so you don't like it, feels like monopoly money. Samir also says A. Didi says C, or C. C was, I don't see why we need them. Who else? A couple people saying no APO. Philip says no APO. Aline says, fire bun pa APO Rasta. Sean says, Gary with a rich laugh and strong link. Fantastic interview. Aline says, IPO this Friday? Really? I don't know. I don't know. I know something's coming up. I don't know exactly when. You know, the way how IPOs work, not even the businesses know when exactly it's going to drop for the most part. It just drops. And then they run and try, you know, make it up. Strong Link says, linked with you at your initial launch, Cal, but you grew so big now you won't remember me. Well, I'm sure you didn't introduce yourself to me as Strong Link. So I would not put two and two together. Next time you see me, must tell me. All right. So that would have been October 2019, 3.5 years ago. So we started, we weren't registered. So I guess it was sole trader, and then we moved to LLC June 29, 2020. But before that, you know, we're doing the sole trader thing when Taking Stock launched back then. So yeah, what a way we have come indeed. Naturally Focus said, I didn't get any yet. I don't see why they had to change the money. Waste of taxpayers' money to pay to get to receive new notes. Better thing is in Jamaica to spend money on to try to improve our count. So I've touched and felt the money. You can feel that it's better quality physically. Like it feel like plastic because it is plastic. So it's going to last a lot longer than the current notes. Anyway, and it look pretty. So yeah, over time they replace it, spend less money to replace money. And that's how it's supposed to work. Anywho, you think, you know what I think about that, right? I think we should just move towards digital and not need cash. But most of you disagree with me. So whatever, time now for the analysts. I'm joined by business writer at the Jamaica Observer newspaper, David Rose. Hello, David.
Good night, Kalila.
So you got food awards Thursday?
No, I'll probably be at home.
Not your scene, huh? Not your vibe?
Not necessarily that. Just my throat. Give me a second. I don't know what Kristen is referring to. Give me a second. Let me just adjust this.
Live television, live YouTube people. The show must go on. In the meantime, let me take a couple more comments. All right, here we go. Here we go.
He's back. I've turned the fan down because, yeah, it's echoing in the background.
Ah, okay. So we're talking tonight about stationery and office supplies, SOL. Their board is considering... SOS, sorry. Their board is considering a stock split. What's going on with SOS? David Freeze, Poway. Internet rough this evening. All right, so while we wait on David to regain his internet connection, let me take some more comments. You guys have a lot of comments this evening, so I'm always pleased to see what the team is up to. Let me see. Charisse is another person saying A, so she doesn't like the new banknotes. OG says digital indeed. So you agree that we should move towards digital? Orville, seriously? You too with this foolishness? Orville says, but them also have the LGBTQ colors. It's the reflection, Orville. That's what happens with light. It's called refraction. Is that what it's called? This whole light, prisms, rainbows. It's a natural phenomenon. Let me see, what else? Strong link. Yeah, Belmont Road, if I remember correctly. Yes, indeed. Not JLP headquarters. It was nearby, though. It was at Janga's. So that's where it was, Taking Stock launch was. And that's where our Money Mission in-person launch is supposed to be as well, at a date to be announced. So sometime in September, possibly. Is David back? I think I saw him on just now. David, are you back? Internet gone again. Philip says, SOS making some strong moves. Yes, I was looking at that today, actually. They are considering the stock split. The board of directors is supposed to, shareholders are supposed to consider it, but we're waiting for David to come back and tell us the details about it. Let me see. Marvin says, go to the vending machine with the new money and nearly starve. So the vending machines are not accepting the new money yet. Marvin, that's why I must pack your snacks, man. Let's see. Leon says, it highlights just how much we follow from a, how much we suffer from a follower syndrome. The nation was content with what we had before, and the banknotes don't even chart when it comes to issues we should prioritize. Okay. Strong link says, educate, focus. Kyle, he's way off with the comment. Not sure what that one is referring to. Focus. Aline says, do some research on cost benefits, cost to replace older notes, and the lifespan of old and new notes. Give me the answer next week.
Not sure what's happening there, well, ago, Kalila, honestly.
Okay, here we are. David is back. Welcome back, David. Let's get right to it. SOS and their stock split plans. What's going on?
So SOS has, you know, recommended that, you know, shareholders approve a 9-to-1 stock split at their upcoming AGM set for next month. So what does this mean? If you own 1,000 SOS shares, and let us say the price is trading at $9, for argument's sake, that means you have $9,000 worth of shares. Under the stock split, you would have no 9,000 shares, which would then be valued at $1 per share. So the way a stock split works is that the number of shares increases, but the price comes down to match that adjustment factor. So, you know, they've been the most recent company to have gone through a stock split, because we'd have seen Fastwitch last year have a stock split 10-to-1, which, you know, helped facilitate their massive shareholder base increase alongside the overall growth in the stock price. And you also saw Palace Amusement have a stock split this year of 600-to-1. So stock splits aren't necessarily anything new, but in the case of SOS, this is, you know, it's to facilitate greater liquidity in the stock for two reasons. One, we tend to have a psychological perception in Jamaica of, you know, when stock prices reach parity low budget prices, we believe that, you know, it's expensive. So you see similar cases where, you know, different junior market stocks over the years, where as soon as they reach like double-digit prices, they have a stock split and bring the prices back down to the single-digit region. So in the case of SOS, you know, on announced in the news, stock price shot up 32%, you know, by next day. Then, you know, shut up again, next is 34 something, 34.98, I believe was a new peak. And it's come back down like to like $21 today, like one of the worst performing stocks for today. So some results have been exiting at some significant gains at the $34 range and coming down. And, you know, some persons right now are just holding on to some heavy losses. But, you know, with the company's current, you know, growth path, new partnerships, one mentioning Cayman, one mentioning Trinidad and Tobago, you know, the potential, you know, for the stock price growth should be interesting. And the person's asking, how do I qualify for a stock split? Once you own at least one share prior to the ex-split date, you qualify for the stock split. Similar case for even a rest issue APO, there's a special pool in that instance.
Very, very interesting. So all right. So we saw that reaction from the market, sending the price up and coming down. What are the expectations come July when shareholders make that decision?
Well, if you actually look at the prior history, and I would say prior referring to the last probably 5 years, what you tend to see is that as soon as the split is actually executed, in terms of this price being split, so you have an ex-split date when the price is split, and you have a record date when the additional shares apply to your account. So what you tend to see is between the ex-split date and the record date, the price tends to shoot up to the moon. So like Palace, for example, that's split to like $3 or something, I went to $7 something within 2 days, but that was on only 1 out of 600 shares prior to the additional shares being allocated to the account. So, you know, once you see the stock rate approved and you're seeing that date come up for, you know, the stock split, that's when you're actually going to see, you know, more movement around the stock. You're seeing a significant amount of movement now that's a value being traded, but you're going to see a lot more once the stuff is actually approved by shareholders, which is likely going to be the case. And, you know, then you're going to see that further on up again, closer to the actual date of the tax split.
Do we know when that date is yet?
No. So they had put the split date as the AGM date, and I said, no, that's not how it works. You cannot have the split date on the actual, well, the record date on the AGM date. The AGM has to precede the actual event. You at least follow the same T+2 process. So in the LGI appearance earlier with Jermaine and Adam McDaniel, I said they're going to put a new release amendment tomorrow. So you know, the AGM is supposed to be July 25, but the actual split date, that might change.
Okay, well, that's definitely one for us to keep our eye on. SOS also has a number of things that they are working on. Actually did record a video about that today. So look out for that either later this week or early next week about some developments with SOS. Thanks, David. Always a pleasure speaking with you. Yeah.
Do you want to talk about Fastrich in terms of the...
Well, I saw a question here about Fastrich. So Lloyd said, what's happening with Fastrich stocks? It fell from $4.16 to $2.28 in less than 6 months.
Well, it's a multitude of factors. So, you know, persons were anticipating the rice issue that, you know, has been delayed. You would have also seen whereby there was the premature exit of SSL as a top 10 shareholder of Fastrich, which would have added a lot of excess shares to the market. And you'd have also just seen, you know, persons readjusting their portfolios. Fastrich made some significant so many persons last year. So as persons were interested in rebalancing their portfolio to take advantage of different opportunities in the market. And, you know, at the AGM last week, they mentioned that because SSL was terminated that JSC broke up, they're trying to create a carve through for the shareholders who held their shares, you know, with SSL at the time. So while they're at the JCSD, they're currently in escrow and they can't actually access their shares. So FSC has through every transaction and FSC isn't updating any of the clients who have followed up on the whole matter. So that's just a quick synopsis of all things going on with Fastrich. But they're continuing to focus on their overall business expansion plans. USA plan to the $20 billion in revenue and $20 billion net profit by 2027. So, you know, they're still maintaining their own plans, but related to the stock price, a lot of things going on.
Yeah, a lot of things indeed going on with Fastrich. It was almost a year now that Mr. Foster came on this show and told us about the rights issue. Here we are still in limbo because of the whole SSL drama and what's been going on there. And as it relates to the stock price, Lloyd, remember the bull market is down as well. So, and then Fastrich would have been double hit by everything else that's going on with SSL and the delay in their rights issue and all of that. All right.
Any other comments in the chat, Kalila?
Say that again?
Any other comments in the chat?
No, I think that was about it. Let me see. There was one from Aline regarding market activities that he says, I always think when I say Aline, I think Aline the singer. Over and over. So my bad, Aline. Anyway, SSL was a top 10 shareholder and the anticipation around them, SSL also depreciated the stock price to 250 when they sold at a discount. Yeah. So that's basically it. Thank you once again, David. Hope you feel better soon, by the way.
Thanks. Can you actually hear my voice? So you can probably tell. Went through hell and heaven today, so
trying to not go back to hell. Rest up, rest up. Thanks for coming. Thanks for making the time.
You're welcome.
Okay. We want to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Or not. All right, so we're back. Let me take a few final comments. Let me see. Somebody says they need, LeVar says, we need an update on CPJ. They are doing big things. Didn't I just have CPJ on the show like 2 weeks ago? Did you miss that show, LeVar? 3 weeks? It can't have been a month since we had CPJ on the show. Kish says, thank you. Leon says, is it our financial sector's culture? What's the rationale of the fear of a double or triple digit stock price? These companies constantly splitting. Many shares don't equate to greater money. All right. So it could be a fear by you shareholders who don't want to pay more than a certain price for Jamaican stocks. Garvin saying, yeah, CPJ was on recently. We had a whole discussion about what's going on in the tourism belt in Jamaica and the projections for growth in that area, why CPJ is doing quite well. Yeah, we had them on very recently. Let's see, what else do we have here? Not many other comments. I have to go all the way back to some of the earlier ones. There was something I wanted to mention. Let me see if I can find them back. LeVar had made a comment earlier saying he thinks SVL would do great in the microloan solutions. Interesting comment, LeVar, because they do get a lot of that segment of traffic. So phone cards is one of their big selling areas. So people go in, you buy your cash pot, you buy a phone card. I think they probably would do well in microloans if that's something that they wanted to offer. Daniel ReSVL says, sounds like a scalable, profitable enterprise. And he wanted to know if they have shareholder, employee shareholder alignment programs, like shareholder, like share ownership plans, etc. And Leon again saying, SVL is basically a fintech company, so he understands the decision with Director Bolt, with the analogy given by Gary Peart, and the ability to get investors excited about investing in the product. Yeah. All right. And then regarding the banknotes now, a few other comments. Football Fans Exclusive says, the 50 and 100 notes break my heart. Looks good, but not worth a lot. And then he also says, the banknotes feel good and disappointing at the same time. Patrick says it's going to be hard to go digital because too many people would get lost in rural Jamaica. You heard what Gary said, how it works in Ghana? Small man or woman using it on the road, in the market, all the wiper guys using it. And then Stronglink says, him don't know about rainbow, he never did physics. You guys got jokes this evening. All right, guys, that's our show for this week. Make sure you like the video, hit up the like button, subscribe to the channel, and of course, share with a friend. Subscribe to the newsletter, KalilaReynolds.com/newsletter. If you are on that newsletter, you would have seen that we have now opened up applications for the mentorship program with Michael Lee Chin. It is going to be a live YouTube show, but we are pre-selecting the mentees. Those are the 10 to 12 people who will get to ask Michael Lee Chin a question. What would you want to know from a billionaire? Think about your question seriously. Get very specific. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to ask a billionaire a question. What would you ask a billionaire? So this is why you got to be on the newsletter, guys. That info went out Sunday, and we already have many applications. So if you want the link, subscribe to the newsletter, because I've been sending it out via the newsletter. Also reminding you that new email subscribers get a copy of our broker guide and a few other goodies, and turn on those post notifications so you can be the first to see everything when it drops right here on YouTube. We want to help people learn more about money so we can all get this money together. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Kalila Ray, and follow at KRM_business news on Instagram. Those are my only accounts. I don't have any backup accounts, and I do not do crypto trading for people. So that's not me. Report those scammers. If you want to connect with the analyst this week, check the description box below for their contact information. And also visit KalilaReynolds.com for financial information you can use however you like it. Watch, listen, or read. Of course, join the Money Mission community. That's where all our premium content is now, at moneymission.mn.co. Now tell a friend about taking stock, because investing is the new sexy. So let's make it cool to talk about money. I'm Kalila Reynolds. See you next week.
Let's get this money.